We start in Mexico City, parts of which were untouched by Tuesday's earthquake, but all of which is focused on the rescue efforts that continue, especially at that school where a student is still alive but trapped. NPR's international correspondent Carrie Kahn lives there and is there. And Carrie, you want to start at that school? It's become sort of the girl in the well writ large, you know, the story in America about the rescue of a little girl who fell down a well. There have been other rescues in Mexico, but the attention seems to have focused laser tight on this 12-year-old in the rubble.
It really has. It's become a focal point for a lot of the pain that Mexicans are feeling. You talk to people anywhere all over the city, they're just gripped by the story of that school. And it's just heartbreaking. You know, just hundreds of volunteers have flooded to the area. There's just more people there than work can be done. And the Marines are there, soldiers are there doing the work with the heavy machinery. But all eyes in the country are focused on that school right now.
And you see these human chains we've talked about passing things along that are needed, like these huge poles that are still holding up parts of the school because there's a fear of collapse, not just at the school, but elsewhere.
Right. There are damaged apartment buildings all over the place and people can't get back into their apartments. And so there's brigades that go by with these huge wooden wedges that they're putting up to hold up facades, to hold up balconies. And everybody just wants to help. It's just inspiring. It's sad. It just feels like everybody wants to be part of the rescue effort. Yet, you know, you really can't be in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, those areas are chaotic. No one's in charge. Everyone's in charge. And it just, it's a difficult situation.
Well, we hear about parents who use the messaging service WhatsApp to communicate with kids who were still trapped and find out kind of, you know, where they were in relation to doors so that rescuers could find them. And just terrible. And then that moment we just want to touch on where when a child is found, the rescuers yell the name out and everyone in the crowd chants it.
You see a lot of spontaneous gestures like that happening all over. What happens at these rescue sites where the buildings collapsed? And in Mexico City, I think the latest figure is over 35 buildings have collapsed. And what happens is people start wanting to hear and listen if they can hear any sign of life under the rubble. So people put up their fist in the air. Somebody screams silence, and then everybody's fist goes up in the air. And it looks like just, it's to gesture people to be quiet, but it also looks like people are really throwing their hearts into that fist pump into the air, just for everybody to stand together. There's been spontaneous song that has broken out. I was just traveling down the street and saw these trucks filled with volunteers, and they come up along another truck filled with tons of volunteers, and they all just start chanting, Mexico, Mexico. People are just heartbroken and feeling the solidarity and just feeling overwhelmed and sort of helpless, too, at the same time.
I know you were traveling when the earthquake took place, but your husband and two children were there and are there now. Your husband out helping. Your teenagers have gone out. Isn't there also fear, though, that things could still fall, that there could be tremors?
Definitely. There hasn't been a really strong aftershock, which is surprising. Everybody seems to be on edge. There's been a lot, but nothing really strong. You know, I was in the earthquake after Haiti, and there was a 7.1 aftershock after that earthquake. But people here are on edge, just waiting for that next jolt, because the jolt was so terrifying. It lasted for so long, and it just shook everything from the core. And you go by some of these buildings that you see teetering. You know, Mexico City is built on this dry lake bed. It's like rocking jello, the feeling people describe the ground underneath them. But what they do is they just put up some yellow police tape around these buildings that look like they're teetering, and you could see huge cracks in them. And you walk around them, you're just walking off the sidewalk in the street, and you're like, oh my God, this could fall at any moment. And yesterday, every time we went down a new street, somebody would say, there's another building down. And getting home last night from the school took me, I think it was about 2 hours, because people were in the streets, blocking off the streets, telling people all of a sudden, shut off your engine. We're trying to listen for signs of life. It's very stressful with that sort of edge on it. Will there be another aftershock, and will more buildings go down?
Well, and so just this is so compelling. But what's the sense of how long this takes or what's next? We're hearing, you know, at least 60 children from that school went to the hospital. Is the hospital okay? People are shouting out for, here's a quote, we need clonazepam, insulin, anesthetics, antihistamines, and oxygen tanks. You know,
people were coming up to me constantly yesterday with long lists of what they need. Some of them I didn't even know what they were talking about. But just I think that nobody's ready yet to go, you know, into that reconstruction phase. People are still in the recovery phase. And I think that's going to be a very hard turn for a lot of these people that are out in the street volunteering when they say, OK, we're done. Yeah. Looking for survivors, you know, that moment, it's going to be very difficult. And to tell people this is going to be, you know, a reconstruction phase, no longer a rescue phase, but it's coming. And I think it's going to be a difficult time and it's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long recovery.
Carrie Kahn, NPR's international correspondent, speaking to us from Mexico City. Carrie, thank you.
You're welcome.